Glory to God. I want to pick up the first Sunday of this month on August the 2nd, Sunday night. I started talking about principles of increase. And we said that it is God's nature is increase. That he is not a God of the set of the stagnant, if you will. God told man when he created him, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And throughout Scripture, God has increased people as they would walk with him. And I know sometimes, you know, it seems incremental. In other words, it's small, but every step, every day should be a day of increase. Hallelujah. You know, what Pastor Denise was talking about this morning, if you weren't here, you need to go back and listen to it. Probably go back and listen to it if you were here. But talking about Jesus and our personal relationship with him being our center, everything else flows out of that. Well, my relationship with God should be increasing from today. Tomorrow it should be in a greater place than it is today. Every day making increase. And so God has spoken throughout time, and we went through some scriptures. We saw that even persecution could not stop increase in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But when we talk about increase, we're not just talking about finances. Now, a lot of folks, when you talk about increase, they think finances. And there are some great truths we can learn through financial studying what God said about finances. But these principles of increase work in every area of our life. All right? Every area of our life. But there's a lot of things the Bible says God intends for us to increase in. Grace, wisdom, knowledge, faith, love. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, as Pastor Denise said this morning. But also in our spiritual maturity, our good works, our opportunities for ministry, and then, of course, the resources. So if you want to think about this, everything God does produces life. Everything Satan does produces death. Remember John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And then we finished off that by talking about how increase begins with our attitude. One of the things that we keep, I think Christians, sometimes we don't see the proper process of things. We want God to change our circumstances, and he's going to change our thinking. He's going to change us on the from the inside out. Remember, Paul talked about being renewed in the spirit of our mind. In other words, what is that attitude? The New International Version says, be renewed in the attitude of your mind. Your attitude is your mental state or your thinking going into a situation. How many of you know what you're thinking going into a situation has a great impact on the outcome of that situation? Amen. You know, so many times live in such a world, especially this, you know, the world that we live in, and thank God, you know, I'm not up here to complain about this because I know that God causes us to have the victory no matter what's going on. Amen. You know, I don't understand these doom and gloom preachers. If it all does come to an end, we win. We spend eternity with God. Isn't that right? You know, and sometimes there ought to be times you ought to look in the mirror, and as you're looking in the mirror, just talk to yourself and talk to the devil at the same time. Now, I didn't say you were the devil, but you ought to tell yourself, yeah, you know, I've told the devil, what if you did kill me? So what? I'm just going to lay this body down and step over into eternity, look Jesus face to face. I win. You know, and when you quit being afraid to die, you become dangerous to the devil. Hallelujah. Just not afraid to die. Not in a hurry, but not afraid. Glory to God. Well, we talked about that, and we said this, before God changes your circumstances, he changes our thinking. And remember, we were talking about Caleb. How Caleb had another spirit. Remember the spies, 12 spies went into the promised land? The Bible says concerning Caleb, he had another spirit about him. He said, let's go take it. Yeah, it's there. We saw the giants there, but let's go. God has given us the land.
His attitude was, God is bigger than anything I could ever face. God in us. And you think about that, Caleb didn't even have God on the inside of him, like you do, child of God. I mean, the mighty Holy Ghost is in you. It's not just taking up space in the Bible and ink on a piece of paper when it says, for greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater one's in us. Who is he? He's the mighty Holy Ghost. He's God the Holy Ghost. What else do I need besides that? Amen. But, you know, we spend a lot of time trying to pray the power down and trying to get the circumstances to change, when a lot of times we just need to look at the opportunities already in front of us. And then, of course, prosperity begins in the soul. So I want to read our keynote scripture, Psalm 115. Psalm 115. And we're going to begin looking at some things more things concerning increase. But understand this, increase operates according to certain principles and certain, if you will, laws. How many of you know Jesus came and preached that the kingdom of heaven was at hand and that it's in us? How many of you, every kingdom has certain principles and certain laws that you have to work by and abide by or you're going to get in trouble? And the kingdom of heaven has certain principles. And we need to look at those to understand, because I know I read a quote years ago I had written it down. I don't have it written in this Bible. I have it in another Bible that just like this one, but it's an older one. I've got more. I'm breaking in a new one here. But that said, where Smith Wigglesworth said, if you're not increasing, you're decreasing. And he said, if you're decreasing, you're backsliding. Well, that's not God's plan for us. Our God's plan for us is to increase. But there's certain principles and certain governing laws, if you will, that we operate by. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit more. But let's read this, Psalm 115, starting in verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. We could stop right there and shout, because God's been thinking about us. Amen? I mean, Jeremiah 29:11, we know what kind of thoughts they are. They're good thoughts, to give us a future and a hope. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. God's not leaving anybody out. Aren't you glad God's no respecter of persons? I'm jumping a little bit ahead there, but we'll look at that verse. But God's no respecter of persons. Increase belongs to everybody. He said, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He goes on to talk about some things. Now, he'd been talking about this in this psalm. The psalmist here had been talking about how that, you know, we're giving glory to God, not like these idols that are out there, these idols made out of silver and gold. They have a mouth, but they can't speak. They have ears, but they can't hear. You know, these things are just, they're just things. He said, but we're going to fear you. We're going to reverence you, God. And he talks about how the Lord is. The Lord has been mindful of us. The Lord has a plan. How many of you know God has a plan and a purpose? Well, it's not me to take my plan and my purpose to God and ask him to bless it. It's find out what he has planned and purposed. I heard a minister say that years ago. He said, when I finally figured out that if I just get God's plan, it was already blessed. I didn't have to spend any time praying about God blessing it. But notice what he says here in this in verse, especially verse 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Now notice, it doesn't just simply say God will increase you. He says more and more. That's talking about a continual work of God. Now in order to understand it, we've got to realize God has no shortage of anything. Never has been a shortage with God. His resources never diminish. Think about this. His grace never runs out. His wisdom never reaches its limits. His power never weakens. His ability to increase his people and increase you never ceases. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. It's important to understand what we're going to read. 2 Peter chapter 1. Because as you increase, you're going to need an increase of other things to go along with it. Think about it. As you're calling, you know, we were in the back room talking about, you know, how old we were when we came to Rhema. You know, compared to Pastor Bill and I, Rob was the Ancient of Days, you know. When I was 21, I thought 29-year-olds were ancient. Amen. Now I see some folks, you know, that are older than me that have gone home to be the Lord, and I think such a young fella, but not, you know, back in those days. But, you know, if you just will look at your life, I know some of you, I know you're just starting out and things, and that's fine. But I'm telling you, God's been faithful to you, and you didn't even know it. But if you just look back at things, you realize God, as you've come from that place to here, God has brought you. He's worked with you, even when we didn't even know He was at work. But yet, there are certain things that had to increase to get us to where we are now. And one of them is found here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. See, we just don't need maintaining grace. We've got to have multiplied grace. Increase implies more. The Lord shall increase you more and more. What about in what He's called you to do? You know, every child of God has a calling. Ephesians 4:1 is written to every Christian. Paul basically says, I'm beseeching you, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you're called. The King James says vocation. Same word translated called is translated vocation. It's the calling wherewith you're called. Every child of God. See, why do I know that? Because every child of God, everything written in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 applies to every child of God. Amen. And so if that applies, then Ephesians 4 right there applies. Then he goes on to talk about how we walk worthy. There's some things there. Then he gets into what we recognize, and some people have limited, unfortunately, but Paul and God's never limited it to just the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But they're given for what? To equip the saints. For the what? The work of the ministry. The edifying of the body of Christ. All of us. He goes on there later and talks about in chapter 4 of Ephesians about each one of us that has a supply. Every joint has a supply. Every measure has a part. All of us are called. Well, as you start off, realize this, your calling is probably very, very simple. But it's not a minor calling. It's important. But are you to stay there? Well, you might stay in the same area, but you ought to get better at it. You ought to increase in your abilities. You ought to increase in your anointing. Amen. You know, and I know some people think, well, you know, only the folks in the pulpit need an anointing. You've never been in the nursery before. Amen. I know after graduating from Rhema and then being out in two different churches and being associate pastor and worship leader in two different churches and moving back here 16 years after I graduated from Rhema, you know, and we're just part of the church and, you know, finding our way. We're attending married school of the Bible, married 30 to whatever age, you know. I'm looking at you, Harold. There you go. Praise the Lord. Harold's still in your class, Pastor Bill? No? Did you move up? Oh, finally. He increased. But Brother Harold was in that class back. But, you know, just that. But then I know the very first volunteer opportunity we took was in the 2- and 3-year-old classroom. They had, you know, and they had centers. So you had 12 children in one group, and they moved. And we're there in the home center, you know, we're in the building block center. And then finally, towards the end of the service, we went with our group to what I could only call, I don't know what it was. It was the free-for-all center. Amen. I mean, there was a runway. It was a big room so they could get a good head of steam. run. You know how 2 and 3 year olds are. Some of them, you know, they don't understand. I probably shouldn't knock that other child over. No one got hurt now, and no one's getting hurt in our classrooms right now. Do not get up, go get your children, because it's probably your child doing it. Never mind. But you know, one time as an associate pastor in that first church I was in, there was a couple little children just running wild after service one day, and they're running, so I had to kind of corral them. And finally, I think it was their grandmother brought them. Bless her heart. Thank God for grandparents that bring their grandchildren to church, right? But they were just wild and wouldn't listen to her, wouldn't do anything, you know, just wouldn't obey me. They're just running wild, and she said, I just don't know what's wrong with them. I don't know where they get that. And I said this before I even thought it came out of my mouth. I said, oh, they get it from you, I'm sure. And she kind of shook her head and just busted up laughing. And she said, you know, you're right. They're exactly like I was. You know. I probably shouldn't have said that, but I did. But increase going on all the time. You're going to need more grace tomorrow than you have today. Whatever God's called you to, it's going to take more grace. How many of you know, because if I'm doing it in my own ability, I'm going to fail. But if I do it in the grace of God, with the grace of God, it's going to be successful. Well, something else God wants to increase us in. You'll notice there it says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Not only do we need more grace, we need more knowledge. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Spiritual maturity requires continual growth in the knowledge of Christ. Not just so I get puffed up, because how many of you know knowledge can puff you up? And you can have knowledge, if you could have knowledge of the Word of God, but you know the Bible says if you don't act on what you know, you deceive yourself. No, we need knowledge, but we also need wisdom to help us. But we are to increase in this area. Look at Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, there's knowledge, but notice also wisdom and understanding. You ever thought about this when it comes to understanding? A lot of times, in a lot of cases, people are against what they don't understand. I know in ministering the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, Pentecostal experience with receiving the what we call the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, people aren't receiving tongues. They're receiving a second and distinct work of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer. But tongues is the initial evidence, according to the Scripture. All right? But in doing that, you know, a lot of times if people don't understand what it is, they're against it. Right? But, you know, I would say this. If you're trying to help somebody receive something that you know the Bible says belongs to them, pray that Ephesians 1 prayer. Pray this prayer for them, that God would give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him. Here he says that be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they'd understand it. Look at verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Knowledge with obedience produces fruit. Knowledge outside of obedience produces pride. We can get puffed up if we're not careful. So, you know, as a child of God, we need to increase in our relationship with Christ and knowing Him and knowing God. How many of you know if you want to know God, you need to know His Son? If you want to see God at work in the earth, what did His Son do? Okay? Knowledge. And then, of course, you know, what's another area? Well, how many of you know God wants our faith to increase? Remember Romans 10, verse 17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes. That implies it's going to increase. It doesn't matter where you are right now, where your faith is right now, you can increase in faith. Increase. But the great thing about faith, It's use what you have. Jesus talked about it. Look, if you just got a faith as a little mustard seed, you could do things. Just use the faith that you have. That'd be like, you know, telling a little child, you know, especially, you know, a little child, first time they pick up a ball, you know, but then they'll start throwing it. That'd be like telling them, well, don't throw a ball. You don't have any muscles. You're not big enough yet to throw a ball. Yet here they pick the ball and they throw it. No, they're using the muscles that they have. How many of you know if they keep on using the muscles, they'll grow? Well, keep on using your faith. Faith comes by hearing. Every revelation of God's word enlarges our confidence and our faith in Him. The more we know God, the more faith we have to trust Him. All right? And then something else that is to increase is our fruitfulness. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Pastor Denise this morning again talked about abiding in the vine out of John chapter 15. I'm convinced there's more there than what we've seen concerning producing and being productive in the kingdom of God. There's an abiding, you know. One definition of abide that I've seen means to feel at home. To feel at home. There in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prayed that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. Well, he's already in our heart. What was he talking about? But part of that means to feel at home. That word abide and dwell mean basically the same thing. To feel at home. How many of you know now, you know, one of the word pictures of the Bible is that we've been grafted into the vine, right? We've been grafted into God's vine as Gentiles. We didn't come through the people of God that God was working. We didn't come through the Jewish people. We've been grafted into that vine. But you know, when you first get grafted in, you don't really feel at home. Amen? But we need to get to the place where we as the vine, I mean as the branch, feel at home connected to the vine. How do we do that? We get to know God. 2 Corinthians 9, look at verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Increase it. He's talking about sowing seed. Now here's the thing about God. How many of you know God just doesn't replace what you gave? He multiplies it and brings it back to you. His goal is greater fruitfulness, not just maintenance. Now, I've noticed this over the years, and especially in teaching on the subject of believers' authority and in dealing with the devil loves Christians to go into maintenance mode. I had someone tell me here just today, made a statement to me that I've been thinking about, that talking about like in they had been going through ministry transition, and they said you can get stuck in transition mode, maintenance mode. Let me say it another way: the devil wants us to be passive. How many of you know if you're passive, you're not resisting the devil, like the Bible says, resist the devil, you know, and everything that's of the devil. We're to resist everything that's of Satan. Everything that happened because of what man's sin and Satan becoming the evil stepfather, if you will, of the human race, we are to resist every part of it because Jesus has redeemed us from that. And the last enemy that shall be put underfoot is what? Death. Now, the Bible says that God, you know, God looked, that, you know, he looks favorably upon the death of his saints because he knows they're coming with him. All right? But death is still an enemy. It's the last enemy, the Bible says, to be put underfoot. That's why we fight. That's why there's just something. Let's say it this way. There's something not normal about death. It's not of God. Amen? You think about it. It's just not normal based on how God created us And there's coming a day, then that's going to be totally done away with. Amen? Glory to God. But passive. The devil doesn't want you to use your authority. He doesn't want you to use your, oh, come to church. Come to church. Hey, take a lot of great notes at church. All those sermons, you know, buy every teaching series there is out there. Buy every book. Learn all you can. Just don't act on it. Don't bother him. Be passive. But God wants us to increase. Increase, not just maintenance. And as we said, we can see here, increase is more than just money, isn't it? Bible increase includes every area of our life. We mentioned grace, peace, faith, wisdom, love, patience, knowledge, godliness, brotherly kindness, fruitfulness, every good work. All of these qualities are part of God's kingdom. And they increase as we go with God. Now, you realize this. Money can increase and it be without God's blessing. I mean, there's evil people that have money. But when God's character increases within us, every area of our life is brought under His lordship. And so this brings us now, this brings us to our first law of increase, all right? Our first principle of increase. We have to establish, first of all, that it's God's will. God is the God of increase. God is the God of increase. All right? This first law is like this. Let's think about this. How many of you know that laws operate consistently for everyone? They work for whosoever will. Gravity does not have to choose who it affects. How many of you know right now every one of us is being influenced by the law of gravity? But you know, you can supersede the law of gravity for a time with, you know, thrust and lift and different things of that sort. You know, more to it than that, but you understand. But yeah, how many of you know if you have superseded the laws of gravity and all of a sudden you turn the engines off, gravity is back in control. Right? And, you know, to some extent it is because, you know, a passenger plane, it can't fly out of the atmosphere. It doesn't have enough power to do that. Why? Because gravity is there. Think about this. How many of you know the law of salvation works for everybody? Romans 10 tells it, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. And that works for everybody, whosoever will. There's certain principles and laws. I mentioned to you earlier, Acts 10, 34 and 35 says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. God does not play favorites. So let's look at this first principle, this first law. All right, the first law of increase is to put God first or honor God in everything. Honor God in everything. Honor precedes increase. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll just introduce this tonight. So as you can already tell, I'm doing a series on this. And we'll do it. If I can, I'll try to keep it on Sunday nights so we can keep it going with this. All right, Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, when we're talking about honor principle here, what does it mean to honor? Honor means to esteem, to value, to respect, and to treat as weighty or important. Honor. And he said there that the way to honor God is to bring him, now notice that term first fruit, that tells us this. The principle of first fruits as it related to finances and to the crops and to the increase of the children of Israel was this. It, not only was it the first, now listen to me because this is how we honor God. Not only do we bring God our first, we bring him our best. Honor, whatever you honor increases in value. Whatever you dishonor decreases in value. Honor is giving the proper weight and respect. So when we're talking about honoring God, we're putting God and allowing God to be in his proper place in our life. Now again, how many realize again, we're talking about way more than just finances. We just used that verse. He talked about substance there. But because everybody's concerned about finances, so it's something all of us can think about, you know. People want their barns filled with plenty. They want their presses to burst out with new wine. But if we fail to honor God, it's not going to happen. Well, I want more grace. Well, are you honoring God? I want more knowledge. I want more faith. I want all these things. I want to produce more fruit. First step, honor God. Honor God. I know that Brother Hagin, in teaching, he said, you training for ministry, he said, be careful in these three areas. The gold, that was the finances. The glory, that was don't ever take credit for anything. Give God the glory in every area. And then finally he said, and then the guys and the girls. If you're a girl, how do you treat the guys? If you're a guy, how do you treat the girls? The gold, the glory, and the guys or the girls. Amen? In those three areas. But I want you to notice, honoring God, giving God the glory. Giving God the glory. I'm a little bit, you know, I'll end with this tonight. And I say this to all of us. We don't ever want to give off the indication that we did something. Amen. You know, God didn't do that miracle and heal that blind person so you could get a lot of clicks on social media. God healed them because he loves them. Now, we sure ought to brag on what God's doing. I don't have any problem with that. But I'm saying, are we honoring God? Are we honoring God? You know, one of the things that happened during in the late 1940s up through the late 1950s was a great healing revival going on. But there were some that got caught up in it, and there God would heal somebody, and they'd stop and take an offering up right after that great healing take place. They didn't handle it right. They didn't honor God. God is not a fundraiser. He's not my fundraiser. He's the source of my funds, but I'm not going to be able to use God in that way. Amen. Honor God. We'll get into more of that as we have time, how to honor God and how that looks in our life. All right, let's all stand up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Always enjoy you that come out on Sunday nights. Good to see all the time, a lot of familiar faces. You must be a radical Christian to come to church on Sunday night, too. Amen. Glory to God. All of our announcements were good. If you need prayer for anything, guys and ladies are come down. Ladies come to the ladies, guys to the guys. If you need prayer, they'll pray with you. According to the Word of God, that's where answer comes from. Before you leave tonight, shake hands with two or three people. Tell them, thank you for being a radical Christian. Amen. And we'll see you back on Wednesday night. Hour of power. Glory to God.